So, Hare Krishna. I welcome everyone for this Sunday morning and Sunday evening class, depending on which part of the planet you are in. So, the topic for today's discussion is the glories of the month of Kartik. We know that from 27th onwards, that is day after tomorrow, the most auspicious month of Kartik is beginning. There are different start dates for Kartik. According to different calendars, there are different traditions who follow different dates for Kartik. Depending on when your Chaturmas begins, the Kartik Vrat would also begin, because Kartik month is the fourth or the last month out of the Chaturmas. So if your Chaturmas starts early, then your Kartik month, the dates for the observance of Kartik would be earlier. Even for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas who follow from 27th, there are some who follow from Ekadashi to Ekadashi. Like the Ekadashi that we had, Papankusha Ekadashi, they follow from that Ekadashi to the last Ekadashi of Kartik. We follow from Purnima to Purnima. So our Kartik month starts from Sharad Purnima, which is day after tomorrow. And the last day is also Purnima, the end, the fifth day of the Bhishma Panchak, or the last day of Kartik. Now, why is this month so power potent? That is exactly what the discussion today would be. There won't be any stories, sadly, fortunately, unfortunately, no stories. But this discussion is aimed to inspire both myself and all those who are listening to take this month very seriously and in a devoted and in a spiritual mood, we absorb ourselves in the service of Sri Krishna. The 4 months of Chaturmas are considered to be the most auspicious 4 months out of the 12 months. That is the time when in the past the sages stopped their traveling and they used to sit at one place and absorb themselves completely in the chanting and the hearing of the glories of the Lord. Even in Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes, as narrated by Srila Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, we find how Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took break during Chaturmas, and he was at the house of Venkata Bhatta, the father of Gopal Bhatta, who later became Gopal Bhatta Goswami. So, if we are not able to remain completely Krishna conscious in all 12 months of the year, because of family commitments, because of responsibility, because of our office or work pressure, and because of naturally being in Maya, we must try at least to be Krishna conscious and seriously absorbing ourselves and observing these 4 months of Chaturmas. Even if these 4 months we are not able to completely observe properly and engross our consciousness in the service of Krishna, we must try to absorb ourselves at least in the last month, which is the Kartik month. So that month is starting day after tomorrow. So this class is like a general information about the do's and don'ts, the glories of this month, how to observe it, what are the general do's and don'ts. Of course, there are many intricate ones, but I'll dwell in the general ones which are more practical for all of us. This month of Kartik is the last month according to Vedic calendar. For all those who apply tilak, we decorate our body with tilak on 12 parts. On the forehead, we start with Om Shri Keshavaya Namaha. Then in the navel, Madhavaya Namaha, Narayanaya Namaha. And then on the chest, Madhavaya Namaha. then on the throat, Govindaya Namaha, and so forth. Finally, we finish with Damodaraya Namaha. So these 12 names represent 12 Vishnumurtis. And each name is the name of a presiding deity for 1 month. So Keshava is the presiding deity for the first month. Narayana is the presiding deity for the second month. Madhava is the presiding deity for the third month. And finally, Damodar is the presiding deity for the 12th month. And finally, if we have any more Chandan left, we just wrap it up onto the top of our head with Vasudevaya Namaha. That's the 13th. But of course, Keshava, Narayana, Madhava, Govinda, Vishnu, Madhusudana, Trivikrama, Vamana, Sridhara, Rishikesha, Padmanabha and Damodar. These are the 12 presiding names for the presiding deities, one each for 1 month. So therefore, that is one reason why this Kartik month is also called as Damodar month. Because the name of the presiding deity who is to be worshipped in this month is Damodar. For Gaudiya Vaishnavas or for worshippers of Krishna, also called as Karshanas, just like Vishnu worshippers are called as Vaishnavas, Krishna worshippers are called as Karshanas, and Radharani worshippers are called as Gaudiyas. And because we worship Radha and Krishna, we are called as Gaudiya Vaishnavas. So because in this month, Krishna was bound by the rope of pure love by Mother Yashoda to a wooden grinding mortar, and this pastime is called as Damodar Leela, and because that Leela took place in this month, therefore this month is also called as Damodar. There are many reasons, these are the two prominent reasons. This month has many, many occasions and festivals like Diwali. And on the day of Diwali was the day when this pastime of Damodar Leela took place, where Krishna was running around everywhere and Queen Kunti was also there. And in her presence, baby Krishna was tied to a wooden grinding mortar by his navel. On the day of Diwali, traditionally, from Treta Yuga, is the day when Ramchandra returned back to Ayodhya as the king. And therefore, the tradition of lighting or litting lamps is prevalent. In the city of Ayodhya, nobody used anything, no light, and nobody ate anything till the time Ramchandra came. They were naturally living by drinking water and breathing air. And if something comes naturally, so be it. So that represented complete unhappiness, ignorance and darkness. So when Ramchandra was making his way back, that's when the lamps were lit to indicate Tamasoma Jyotir Gamaya, to indicate that now Ayodhya is having a transition from being 14 years in darkness to being next 11,000 years in light. The third thing that took place on the day of Diwali was Narakasur or Bhaumasur was killed, and so forth. Other occasions in this month of Kartik are like Gopashtami. Gopashtami is the day when Krishna or Gopal was now given charge. He used to always take care of the calves in Vrindavan, but now Krishna, as the baby boy, was given charge of taking care of the cows. So on the day of Gopashtami, Krishna runs with his cows and calves in total bliss, thinking that now he has become a big boy. Another famous pastime in the month of Kartik is Bahulashtami, the appearance of Sri Radhakund in this world. Govardhan Leela or Giri Govardhan Leela, Giridhari Leela, as it is called by different names, also took place in this holy month of Kartik. And there are many appearances and disappearances of acharyas. This month is Krishna's favorite month, because for the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, the Adhishtatri Devi or the presiding deity apart from Krishna or Damodar is Srimati Radharani. And because the presiding deity for us is Srimati Radharani, it is Krishna's famous, it's Krishna's favorite month. Because for the devotee, Krishna is favorite, and for Krishna, his devotees are favorite. Krishna has a name called as Bhakta Vatsal, and this means that he is very compassionate and merciful to his devotees. In this month, his Bhakta Vatsalyata increases multifold times, and the word Vatsalyata or Bhakta Vatsal also comes from the word Vatsa. Vatsa means a calf. So Bhakta Vatsal means Krishna's love towards his devotee is like the cow's love to its own calf. And on the other side of the story, the devotee's love for Krishna is like the should be like the calf's love for its own mother. That's what Bhakta Vatsal means. So in this month, his Bhakta Vatsalyata increases. And the Skanda Puran and Padma Puran describe this month of Kartik very in great detail. And they say, just like Sri Vrindavan Dham is the greatest of all dhams, just like Srimad Bhagavatam is the best among all Vedic literature, just like Tulsi Devi is the best among all plants and herbs, just like among the yugas, it's Satya Yuga, among the rivers, it's Ganga, among all eternal masters, it's Krishna. Similarly, among all the months, the most holiest month is the month of Kartik. The Puranas describe that even if little service is done in this month, Krishna gives mountain-like credit to all the devotees, whether it's intended or it's not, whether it's intentional or non-intentional, whether somebody does devotional service out of habit or out of liking or some ulterior desire or no desire, or when somebody is just making fun of somebody else in mockery, still Krishna gives complete credit. Yena kena prakarena mana Krishna niveshayet. Rupa Goswami says, by some means or the other, if the mind gets focused on Krishna, that is excellent. So, if some activity is done in the month of Kartik, even if it is not completely devotional, but it is simply, it's a part of devotional activity, but it is not backed up with a devotional mood, still Krishna gives complete credit. Another point to note is that these same activities, if they are done in other months, the credit is way lesser. But when they are performed in the month of Kartik, it is way higher. Krishna even agrees to give such a person who accidentally also performs devotional service, even to such a candidate, Krishna agrees to give himself or sell himself or even give eternal residence in Goloka Dham, Goloka Vrindavan, as a gift. Even among Karmakandis, or those who perform all their activities with or fruitative activities, so to speak. Karmakandis are those who perform yajnas or tapasya or charity or austerity, etc., to get something in return, something material in return. So performing a spiritual activity to get something material in return is called as fruitative activity or karmakanda, where the activity is performed with respect to the fruit that could be achieved. Even for karmakandis who desire health, wealth, property, and women, and followers, and long life, etc., even such people consider Kartik very highly, and they wait for this month. So what to speak of devotees? Devotees never perform or should not perform devotional activity in a fruitative manner. We must perform bhakti only and only for the pleasure of Sri Krishna. And of course, when we please Krishna, Krishna is pleased with us and he blesses us immensely, as a result of which Bhukti and mukti become insignificant byproduct. In Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's discussion with Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami and his instructions, that's exactly where he talks about the 12 lords for the 12 months that I spoke. And as we discussed, due to those two reasons of the Lord Damodar being the presiding deity and the Leela of Damodar occurring in this month, this month is called as Damodar Leela. In this month, especially in Vrindavan, devotees worship Yashoda Damodar, or this form of Mother Yashoda tying Sri Krishna to a wooden grinding motor, and they worship the Lord by having lamps, offering lamps, by singing very beautiful songs. They offer themselves completely in the service of the Lord. In Vrindavan, we would find that every temple and every Leela Sthali, every pastime place in the month of Kartik is lit up completely. It seems as if Dham Swarupi, this Braj Dham, is Srimati Radharani actually. But always she is quiet. But in the month of Kartik, she gets completely decorated in the form of lamps. These lamps add extra flavor to the fact of visiting Vrindavan or staying in Vrindavan for eternity. So the whole land of Sri Vrindavan looks so beautiful, imbued with this mood of devotion. Some general rules for this month. As Rupa Goswami describes in Bhakti Rasamrit Sindhu, out of the 64 limbs of devotion, he says one of them is to please Damodar by singing songs or Damodar Ashtaka, different stotras, stavas, stutis, shlokas, worshipping the Lord, offering lamps, hearing about his pastimes, and performing all these austerity only to please Damodar in this month. Ideally speaking, this vrat must be performed in Vrindavan Dham, because those who perform Kartik vrat in Vrindavan Dham never again come into this material world forever. That is the last, that is like the concluding thing in this material existence. What to speak of, so if somebody accidentally also does it, is in Vrindavan and performs Kartik accidentally also, no mood, but some friend, some devotee friend is forcing me. If you are my friend, then you must offer lamps. Oh, therefore, with a heavy heart, although I don't believe in God, still I'm offering to please the friend. Even if somebody does it like that, in a very hesitant or in a reluctant manner, still that person gets Krishna. What to speak of devotees who, with a very sweet, heartfelt, devotional mood, stay in Vrindavan Dham only to please Radha and Krishna. If one is not able to stay in Vrindavan during Kartik month, one must try to at least visit and come. If that is also not possible, one is very far away from Vrindavan Kshetra, then one must create Bhav Vrindavan. One must create Vrindavan wherever one is by attentively hearing and chanting in the association of Vaishnavas. One must do that with a sincere heart that I am away from Vrindavan. Let me at least take advantage wherever I am. The Puranas describe that those who perform Kartik Vrat are the best among mankind. Even demigods come in incognito, or they come in a hidden fashion through different inconceivable forms. They come and worship such devotees. But on the contrary, those who don't worship the Supreme Lord in this month of Kartik or Damodar, and they waste this month, being in a human form, they waste this month, the Puranas describe they are the greatest fools. In fact, there is more description of the hellish condition that they might face for wasting not just the human form, but the best opportunity, the best month that comes every year in this human form. Of course, I won't discuss all that now because that will scare all of you all. But the point of the discussion here is that we must not waste this month. this month, every second in this month is more precious than gold. We have to be very, very careful. In fact, Chanakya Pandit says, Ayusha Kshana Ekopi Na Labhya Suvarna Kotibi. He says that every second of this human birth itself is like gold. Even if you give thousands and thousands of gold coins, still you won't get a second back. So what could be said about this month of Kartik? This month of Kartik in this human form must not be wasted. Another point that the Puranas describe is that one must try to remain focused throughout this vrata, must not get distracted. Try to be as pure as possible, practice celibacy, stay humble. We must try to be clear in thought and pure in thought, word and deed. We must try to perform charity or give away charity in the right place. So this month is very auspicious like that. So if somebody wants to donate to taking care of cows, or somebody wants to donate some Lakshmi for the propagation of Krishna consciousness to Vaishnavas, or to the temple, or for the dressing of the deities. There are so many archanas and pujas in so many temples around the world. So if you think of doing it, then this month is the right month, because by performing charity in this month, you get inconceivable returns. So if the same thing if you want to do after the month of Kartik, you're welcome to do, but the result won't be as powerful as that you would get in the month of Kartik. Another point is that even decorating the outside portion of the temple or the houses with rangoli or with different designs, just with the intention of pleasing Krishna, grants one heaven. If one is keeping the deity of Shri Krishna in one's house and wants to decorate the house nicely with rangoli or with different powders outside the temples, different designs and different decorations, the portions of the Vedas say that if you want to go to heaven, the easiest way is to put a decoration outside the temple or Vishnu temple in the month of Kartik. If you do that, you get heaven. But are devotees desiring heaven? Definitely no. We don't desire heaven. Our only, even if all the heavens personified come and stand with folded hands in front of us and say, please enter our planets, the devotees will still say that all that we desire is service, and ultimately we just want to go to Krishna Loka. We don't want to go anywhere else. We know how auspicious it is to take bath in a place like Kurukshetra during the solar eclipse. We know the associates of Krishna also in Krishna Leela going all the way to Kurukshetra to take their bath during the solar eclipse. Now, how many of us during solar eclipse can go to Kurukshetra and take bath? Not possible. Some fortunate maybe, but all of us leaving our house and going to Kurukshetra during a solar eclipse, by the time we reach there, the solar eclipse is over. But it is described that here in the month of Kartik, simply taking one bath in the month of Kartik gives the benefit of taking a bath in Kurukshetra during solar eclipse. When we take bath also, it has to be in the mode of, just like I chant the holy names of Krishna to purify my heart, similarly, I am purifying this water and taking this bath to please Sri Krishna. Even while taking bath in the month of Kartik, we must chant the holy names of Krishna. When you chant the holy names of Krishna or powerful verses from the Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, the water that touches the body also becomes pure water. And when we take bath in such a pure water in the month of Kartik, even if it is in our bathroom under a shower or using your bucket and mug, still the Puranas describe you get the benefit of taking a bath in Kurukshetra during lunar solar eclipse. Also, there are other descriptions of how if one is not able to take a bath, one can take mantra snan. If due to some reasons we are staying in a desert and there is no water, we will take little water and chant the mantras, the names of Shri Krishna, and sprinkle on our head and different limbs of the body. Even if one does this, one gets the benefit of a holy bath in a holy place. Another practices which are optional, they are not compulsory, are eating very simple food. It depends from person to person, if one, according to one's psychophysical nature. There are some devotees who eat just once a day in Vrindavan, or there are some who just eat khichdi throughout the month, or there are some who give up one thing which they like the most. Like, for example, if somebody likes one dish, one sweet preparation, or something spicy, etc., something close to the self, one gives it up as a vrata in the month of Kartik. They are again optional. Better if performed, but you don't lose anything if you don't. Another aspect of austerity could be sleeping on the floor throughout the month, staying truthful, controlling anger, avoiding arguments, avoiding strictly avoiding criticizing anyone for that matter, and Vaishnavas criticizing must always be avoided. But even if one is into this flow of constantly criticizing or cribbing or arguing or shouting and finding faults or being angry, one must try one's best to be as controlled, self-controlled as possible. Again, I'm talking here for the self. You may apply it for the self, for yourself as well. Another brilliant point is that by offering bhoga to Krishna, the deity of Krishna that one should have at one's place, or if one is not able to have a deity, at least a picture of Radha Krishna or Gaur Nithai or Yashoda Damodar. Generally, Yashoda Damodar must be kept during this month and worshipped. So, by offering bhoga to Krishna, the Puranas describe that all the heavenly kingdoms, they stand with folded palms and worship the feet of such a personality. Of course, this point is not to inspire us that, well, let's have all the heavenly citizens come and worship our feet. Not like that, but just to describe that how beneficial it is to simply offer something to Krishna in this month. Patram pushpam phalam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati tadaham bhakti uparitam ashnami prayatatmanaha. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, it is not very difficult to offer bhoga to Krishna. One fruit or one flower or one leaf or some water. With love and devotion, if we offer, Krishna will definitely accept. So let's make this also as a practice that we offer something to Krishna. If one has a deity, very good. If not, at least a picture, one can. Of course, seeing time, place, circumstance and family consideration, you can do the needful. You don't have to be too relaxed, thinking that, well, my family won't allow, so let me not try. And at the same time, you don't have to be too fanatical, that they complain and then you still continue doing. Strike a balance where if the devotees, if your parents and relatives are favorable, then you may do as required. I'm just telling you the different ingredients. How to bake the cake is your individual choice. Next point that is given in the Puranas is that we must make it a point to associate with devotees in this month and strictly hear and chant about Shri Krishna. As much as possible, we must hear from the Srimad Bhagavatam every single day, read Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita as much as possible, or at least do one of the two, hearing or reading, and we must chant japa and kirtan in the association of Vaishnavas. The scriptures describe by simply associating with Vaishnavas and hearing and chanting about them, all the sins through thought, word and deed in past, present and future are burned to ashes. Krishna helps the devotee on the path of pure bhakti, how to surrender to him. And also, after death, Krishna personally takes the devotee to Goloka Vrindavan. Tesham satata yuktanam bhajatam priti purvakam dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. 10.10 Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says that those who are constantly absorbed, tesham satata yuktanam, those who are constantly united and bhajatam priti purvakam. How are they doing bhajan? Priti purvak, with love and attachment. To such people, Krishna says, dadami buddhi yogam tam yenamam upayantite. I give them the intelligence through which they can come back to me. So if we really want to progress on the path of bhakti, then we have to depend on Krishna to inspire us. And Krishna will decide for us and inspire us on the basis of our surrender. So when we hear and chant and try to remember Krishna in the association of Vaishnavas in this month, all of this is obtained. And of course, as devotees, that is our only duty. Machita madgata prana bodhayanta parasparam. Verse, if you see in the Bhagavad Gita, it is described that the devotees kathayantascha mam nityam tushyanti cha ramanti cha. So they speak about me, Krishna says. Kathayantascha mam nityam. They always speak about me, and because of which tushyanti cha ramanti cha. They are completely satisfied. Madgata prana, because their life, and machitta, their chitta or consciousness and their very life is surrendered to me. So that is our aim. Another aspect is we must visit temples as frequently as possible. And one very, very beautiful point is that in this month of Kartik, the Puranas describe, if we wake up in Brahma Muhurta time and go and take darshan of Shri Krishna or Vishnu in temple, then we get the benefit of donating 1,000 cows. How many of us can donate 1,000 cows? How many of us can even have a cow? And then what to speak of donating 1,000 cows? But all of us can achieve the same result in the month of Kartik by simply waking up during Brahma Muhurta, chanting the holy names of the Lord and coming to the temple and taking darshan. If coming to the temple is not possible, at least we must wake our deities. And or if you are worshipping pictures, we must take darshan during Brahma Muhurta and sit in front of them and chant the holy names of the Lord. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Ram Rama, Hare Hare. Please don't think these names are very material. Completely spiritual sound vibration, transcendental sound vibration. And they are very powerful. Just like we say, we believe that by taking a water bath, our body gets purified. Much, much, much more than that, simply by chanting the holy names of Krishna, our dirty, stinking consciousness gets purified. Cheto darpana marjanam bhava mahadavagi nirvapanam. When the consciousness gets purified, we can see ourselves as eternal servants of Krishna. At the moment, the mirror of our heart or our consciousness is completely covered with dust, the dust of ulterior motives, the dust of materialistic desires and inclinations. But by chanting the holy name and serving Krishna, the dust in the mirror of our heart is cleansed, as a result of which we can see ourselves in the mirror of our consciousness as being eternal servant of Krishna, which is our aim. So if we are not able to come to the temple during Brahma Muhurta, we must take darshan of our Ishtadev, our deities at our house, or pictures at our place, and chant in front of them. So we must, if possible, perform Mangal Arati. But if that is not possible at our house, then at least we must chant a couple of rounds of japa. The importance of parikrama is also given. Whenever we go to the temple in the month of Kartik, which should be as frequent as possible, we must perform parikrama around the Lord. Parikrama around Krishna, Radha Krishna, Gaur Nitai, Jagannath Baldev Subhadra, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman, or Vishnu Murti is Narsimhadev, whoever the presiding deity is, and whichever the closest Vishnu temple or Krishna temple is to our house, we must go there and perform parikrama. The scriptures describe that every step that we can take in this parikrama gives us the benefit of an Ashwamedha Yajna. Please remember, 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, to perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas is the qualification to become Indra. The qualification to sit on the post of Indra is 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas. And one step in the parikrama of Sri Krishna in the month of Kartik equals one Ashwamedha Yajna. So by the time you perform 100 Ashwamedha Yajnas, you are already eligible to become Indra. But as devotees, again, we don't want to become Indra. We don't want to go anywhere except the eternal kingdom of Krishna. The next point is that as far as reading is concerned, reading verses from Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, very potent in this month. If you want to learn verses or read the scriptures, very, very powerful, please take it up. We must always do it, but especially in this month. If we are not able to read the whole verse, even if we read half a verse, or if we don't have time to read half a verse, even if we read 1/4 of one verse in this whole month of Kartik, it equals giving 100 cows in charity. Now, all these things are given only to convince us of how powerful these processes are. And if somebody is able to read more and more verses from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, then imagine how many cows you're donating. And the more you serve the cows, more Krishna is pleased. It is a very sad state these days that the cows are being slaughtered and we being devotees are hardly able to do anything. If we are able to do anything practical for protecting the cows and preserving them and serving them till they are there in their bodies, very good. But if one is not able to do any of that and seems very insignificant in this whole attempt, one can perform devotional service through these things so that at least you're serving the cows in a spiritual way. So some prescribed prayers that could be chanted are Gajendra Moksha, or one could chant Bhishma Stuti, one could chant the prayers of Queen Kunti, the prayers of Prahlad Maharaj, the prayers of Vritrasura, 6th canto, 11th chapter, 24 to 27, etc. Or the prayers of King Kulashekara in Mukundamala Stotra, verses of Sri Ishopanishad, or plain verses from Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam, which don't qualify in any of these categories. We can read them as per how much ever time we have and how much ever time we could devote. And whenever we meet, we must inspire one another each other in this month to hear and read more. Also, it is described that those who hear Srimad Bhagavatam every single day in the month of Kartik get the benefit of actually hearing all the 18 Puranas. Because Srimad Bhagavatam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam. So, among all the Puranas, Srimad Bhagavatam is topmost because it is Amala Puranam. What does Amala Purana mean? Mala means some impurity. And Amala means no impurity, only purity. So what are the impurities, so to speak, in other Puranas? No impurity as such, but all the Puranas and all the Vedas, they focus on Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha. Perform Dharma and for some economic benefit, Artha. And then once you have economic benefit, there is some sense gratification. And then finally you get Moksha. But as Vaishnavas, as devotees, we don't accept the Chaturpurushartha, these four Purushartha. We believe in the Pancham Purushartha. And Pancham Purushartha is Prema, Krishna Prema. Prema Pumartho Mahan. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, this is the Pancham Purushartha and this is topmost, which is given only in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Srimad Bhagavatam doesn't inspire us towards religious practice for economic development and then sense gratification and finally moksha. But from start to end, it just hammers the importance of pure bhakti or amala bhakti or prema bhakti. Every second in this month is a second that is meant for austere devotion. We must understand that we must not idle in gossip, in unnecessary talks as much as possible. Of course, if you are into some family consideration and relatives are there, or there is some pressing situation, and if there is no way out, You don't have to sit there with Gajendra Moksha, but mentally you can keep remembering Damodar and chant the holy name and physically be there. So as much as possible, we must try to be sincere. And even if there are some mistakes or shortcomings, Krishna will forgive us. The next point, and most important in this month, as we discussed, is the offering of the lambs. Very, 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 very important. Must be offered morning and evening. And the scriptures describe that those who offer lamps at the lotus feet of the Lord as an offering of their heart, they find that even if they have mountains of sins as big as Mount Meru, and if they have been sinning even for a lifetime of Brahma, all those sins which are as tall and humongous as Mount Meru for all of lifetime of Brahma, they are all burnt to ashes just by offering the lamp. It is described the lamp, the fire that we are offering through that Givik, that fire itself, as soon as it is lit and it is being offered to Krishna, it is simultaneously burning down all your past karma. And to explain this, there is a beautiful story in the Puranas of the of a prince by the name Dhumrakesh, who was born in a very aristocratic family. He was a prince, but he was very sinful. There was no sin that he had not performed. And everyone, all the citizens in the kingdom hated him. Even his own father, he banished him. And he was such a disgrace that his father said that, now I'm banishing you out of my kingdom. But if I hear of your sinful activities even outside the kingdom, the fact that you are a nuisance in some other kingdom, then I will send ministers and kill you. So this Dhumrakesh, of course, he never changed. He was moving different places and accidentally came to Vrindavan. So Vrindavan he found to be very beautiful, and he stayed there. And the month of Kartik came in, and he didn't know, and he used to go to Mathura to steal. And as a result, he got attracted to a prostitute and he married her, and he continued his sense gratification even in the month of Kartik, in the heart of Vrindavan. But one day when he was moving around, he saw Satyavrat Muni, who was offering lamps in Vrindavan in this holy month of Kartik to the Supreme Lord. And this Dhumrakesh, he looked at this Muni with disgust, thinking, what is this crazy Muni doing? And just to make fun of him, just for mockery, he imitated him as if he is also offering lamps. That's all, just once. And he continued living his sinful life. Finally, his father got to know that he is not changed, so he sent in ministers, and the ministers found him and killed him. Now, after he was killed, the Yamadutas took him to Yamraj, where Yamraj welcomed him with open arms and sat and spoke to him of all the sins that he performed, but then finally said that he is completely forgiven because of this act of simply imitating the offering of the lamp in the month of Kartik in Vrindavan that Satyavrata Muni was doing. He was simply imitating. Because of that act, he said, I will absolve you of all your sins, and he sent him to Vaikuntha. It's a true story given in the Puranas to explain even the effect of accidentally doing offering lamps, or even doing it out of imitation or fun. So therefore, if we can inspire our relatives, our siblings, our parents, our neighbors, our friends, whoever we can, if we can inspire them to offer lamps, if not every day, at least in the two Kartik Ekadashis. If that is also not possible, any day, two times. If that is also not possible, at least one lamp in the whole month. If we can inspire them to offer, that is great service, not just for them, but we also get the commission of a portion, because Krishna is seeing that we are preaching. So that is very, very powerful. As far as offering lamps are concerned, if the lambs are offered to the Supreme Lord at our house, they give tremendous benefit. If the lambs are offered in the temple or kept outside the temple, very powerful. It is said that at the time of death, the person will face to face will see Vishnu and Vishnu Dutas, who will personally take him to the eternal kingdom of the Lord. Or even if one offers lamps to the cows in the Goshala, or keeps it, offers it for the pleasure of Sri Krishna or Vishnu, and keeps it onto the side of the streets, or keeps it in the middle of the forest, all of that pleases Krishna, because Krishna is present everywhere and is ready to accept all our offerings in all his forms wherever he is present. But the only important ingredient behind offering the lamp is our devotion and our love to please Damodar in this month. If somebody can have lamp decorations done, multiple lamps, either do multiple wicks in the same lamp, many wicks, or one wick per lamp, but many lamps, beautiful decoration, either in the form of a flower or in the form of whatever the different decorations, popular decorations are. If one can have a lamp decoration and say, Krishna, this is only for your pleasure, very, 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 very special. And that also grants liberation. The scriptures say that there are seven places which offer liberation. Ayodhya, Gaya, Kanchi, Kashi, Dwaraka, Avanti and Mathura. But it is only Vrindavan or Mathura, Vrindavan in the month of Kartik, which not just offer liberation, but can offer Krishna Bhakti. All these places offer Mukti, which means freedom from suffering or materialistic pains. So you're free from materialistic pain and suffering. But granting love and attachment to Sri Krishna, Kartik Vrat in Brajmandal will grant. And even if there are mistakes, or even if one is a karmakandi, still one should continue. Akama sarvakamova moksha kama udaradi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. Akama, if one is having no material desires, or sarvakama, or one is filled with material desires, or moksha kama, or one desires liberation, whatever one's situation is, tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusha param. If one engages in tivra bhakti yoga, in focused, one-pointed devotional service, then yajeta purusha param. Then one gets the eternal Supreme Personality of Godhead trapped in one's consciousness. And there is another very nice verse. Om pavitra apavitrova sarvavastha gatopiva yah smaret pundarikaksham sa bahya byantaraha shuchihi. Whether one is pure or impure, whether one is contaminated or not contaminated, internally pure, externally pure, internally impure, externally impure, whatever may be the condition, sarvavastha gatopiva yah smaret pundarikaksham. Those who remember the lotus-eyed Sri Krishna, sa bahi abhyantara shuchihi. So that person becomes purified internally and externally through body, mind and words. And so therefore Kartik month is the best month possible to hear, read, chant, associate, serve and get absorbed. There is another instance in the Padma Puran, a very nice story. A story of a rat which accidentally lit a lamp in the temple of the Lord. So generally you find the temples have a lot of prasadam, and wherever there's a lot of prasadam, apart from devotees, you also find some devotee rats come to taste those prasadam remnants. So the story describes how there was a lamp once which was lit, but it was slowly it was extinguished. The lamp was not burning. And there was a rat which moved over it, and accidentally the hair on the body of the rat caught fire from another lamp, and it started jumping in pain. And because of that, accidentally, this lamp, which was not burning, that wick came in touch with its body, and this lamp also started burning. And that lamp was also lit. So this rat, although had to give up the body because of burning, but at the end of that, the next life, because of accidentally offering a lamp to Krishna in the temple, the rat got a human form, in which it also got the opportunity to perform bhakti and eventually got liberated. So even if the lamp that we are offering, is not lit anymore or is extinguished, and or you relit somebody's lamp, that is also very special. If somebody is offered a lamp and that's no longer burning, you burn it, or you lit that lamp, that wick, ghee wick, and you offer it to Krishna, that is also very power potent. From the story of the rat, we understand how even if it is accidental offering, still we get benefit. Even Dhruva Maharaj, in the fourth canto, he performed 6 months of austerity. And in which place did he perform this austerity? Anyone, any guesses? Anyone knows where Dhruva Maharaj performed his austerity? He performed his austerity in the place called as Mahavan. So there are 12 forests in Brajmandal, where Talvan is one, Bandhirvan is one forest, then Belvan, Tapovan, etc. So Mahavan is one of those forests. And in Mahavan, Dhruva Maharaj performed 6 months of austerity, and accidentally, Kartik was one of those 6 months where he was completely absorbed in remembering the Supreme Lord, performing austerity in Brajmandal, and he saw the Supreme Personality of Godhead face to face at the end of that month. So, a quick review of all the final list of points that we can follow. First and foremost, waking up during Brahma Muhurta and taking darshan of the Lord either in the temple or at our place. Bathing, because you know that's as good as taking a bath at the Triveni Sangam or in Kurukshetra during solar eclipse. Or one can do mantra snan. Third point, worshipping of the deities by reading, hearing, singing Damodar Ashtaka and other prayers, Nandananda Ashtakam, Radha Kripa Kataksha, Shikshashtakam, all beautiful prayers. Most importantly, worship of Tulsi Devi. Very, very important. If you can offer Tulsi leaves or bathe your deity with Tulsi water water the plant of Tulsi, offer lamps to Tulsi Devi, parikrama of Tulsi, offering prayers to Tulsi Devi like Vrinda Devi Ashtakam by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, and Dandavat Pranam or Sashtanga for male and Panchanga for female, Namaskar to Tulsi Devi, and remembering, touching her root, the mud, and touching it back to her forehead, taking the dust of her lotus feet, remembering Tulsi, praying to Tulsi, chanting Japa in front of Tulsi. Very powerful, very, very powerful. And if we offer those leaves of Tulsi along with the lamps, like separately of course, don't make Tulsi leaves burn, that is not very good. So offering Tulsi manjaris and Tulsi leaves separately at the lotus feet of Damodar, and lamps also, if we can do that, oh, even Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva cannot describe the glories of such a devotee. Even they cannot calculate the amount of credit that we are getting. So, worshipping deities, worshipping Tulsi, japa, kirtan, reading, hearing and speaking as much as possible. We must hear katha as much as we can from a very bona fide source. We must serve Vaishnavas, come together as much as possible and not criticize anyone, not get angry and be self-controlled. Maintain celibacy even as much as possible through thought, word and deed. Sleeping on the floor, leaving one item and simple eating, simple sleeping, all optional again. Those who are following Chaturmas, this fourth month we don't take urad dal. Just like first month, we don't take green leafy vegetables and no curd later in the second month, and then no milk in the third and no urad dal in the fourth. So no idli, no dosas, none of that. And we strictly take care of both these ekadashis, Kartik ekadashis. We follow them as strictly as we can. Lamps, morning and evening. And most importantly, we perform all this for purification of the self and glorification of the Lord, for pleasing the Supreme Lord, so that we get more taste on the path of bhakti. And we share this with more and more people, because the more you inspire, the more you get blessings from the Supreme Lord. So we become dear. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, those who share knowledge about this, at the end of the Bhagavad Gita, he says, anyone who shares this transcendental message, he is very, very dear to me. There is no one as dear as the one who shares this message. So you also practice, and then we can also share. And of course, for the four Sundays that come in the month of Kartik, I plan to discuss Damodar Leela. So this is just a do's and don'ts class, so that you can make a note of all of that, and you can start practicing as fast as possible. Tomorrow there is one more day that you can start your net practice. One more day so that you can start your Kartik Vrat, so that you get into the mood. Don't start it from the day of Kartik, because you skip a day then because of sluggishness or whatever. So anyway, I think that wraps it up, and I think I kept it very brief. There's a big list, but of course, a brief overview of all the things that may be useful to you. I just pray to the Lord that all these points come handy for you all and for myself. And may this Kartik month be very purifying and very joyful for all the Vaishnavas. So I'll stop here. If there are any questions or comments, I'd be very happy to take them.